WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Come on, Franklin. It's going to be a fun trip. If I have any more fun today, I don't think I'm going to be able to take it.
Tobe Hooper's 1974 film, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, was so gruesome it helped inspire a wave of splatter films, but it was so interestingly made that it was added to the permanent collection of the Museum of Modern Art. Now it's a hot item at neighborhood video stores. The movie is about a group of hippies who meet up with a family of homicidal maniacs who kill strangers to the area, eat their flesh, and turn what's left over into sausage. Hooper also directed Poltergeist, the remake of Invaders from Mars, and Salem's Lot for TV. Horror film director Wes Craven says Chainsaw is one of his favorite horror films. Hooper directed the first episode of the new TV series based on Craven's film Nightmare on Elm Street. So we took this opportunity to look back with Tobe Hooper on his film that changed the horror genre. Before Chainsaw, horror usually meant the supernatural, zombies, monsters, and other creatures. But in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it was people who ate flesh and played out our worst nightmares.
I don't think I set out to change the genre consciously. I was a movie fan. You know, I was a horror film buff, and I simply made a film that I wanted to see because I felt it. At that time, and we're talking about something like close to 15 years ago, the horror films that we were getting had gotten, you know, very boring and totally unscary and hokey and bad. And I wanted to make something that that worked again, that had chair jumpers in it, you know, that moved an audience. So I really set out as a fan of the genre to do something that gave you your money's worth.
Your movie is very threatening. It's very ugly. It's very hard to sit through in some ways, but it's really not that explicitly gory. It's not as gory as you'd expect it to be.
Yeah.
Was that intentional on your part, or have standards just changed since 1973?
No, that was intentional, and it also had to do with my awareness of getting a rating on the picture, and I actually set out to get a PG rating.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. In fact, when I was shooting the picture, I called the MPAA and told them what I was doing, and I said, how can I make this PG? I know the concept is rough, but let's hypothetically talk about a sequence. That I have a sequence, for instance, where a girl a big guy hangs a girl up on a meat hook, and if you don't see penetration and you see the girl hanging on the meat hook and you've suggested penetration in a kind of Hitchcock way, what will I get? Does that get an R? Does that get an X? Or how about PG? And so over the phone, talking the MPAA all the way through while shooting, I was trying to do what they suggested, so I could have a PG rating. Well, when the film was finished and they saw it, it was really amazing when they have these little clipboards, you know, with lights on them in the dark room, and every few seconds those lights would pop on and they were making notes, and I thought, oh, that's trouble. That means they're talking about cuts. Well, ended up not having to make any cuts, but of course we took the R rating. And I don't know, however, had I not sincerely tried to go for a PG, the picture may have been an X.
Did anybody in the movie industry think that you were insane or dangerous after seeing the movie?
Well, you know, it's the first time I've been asked that question, and I didn't get the kind of response then that, let's say, a young film director would get now, making a genre piece and showing, you know, making such an impressive showing. They would instantly be embraced because of the numbers, you know, because of the scoreboard. I mean, a hit is something that makes money, and I've seen lots of young film directors embraced for making terrible movies that made made a lot of money, but I don't know. You know, I do think some people. There were legends going around about me that I rode a Harley hog with skull and crossbones. I don't know about whether or not I was a madman. Probably so. But the film. I mean, it was very strange because it as soon as it was released, it did get mixed critical acclaim, but the positive acclaim was very positive and on a big scale. It, for instance, the film that year was an official film in at the Cannes Film Festival for the Director's Fortnight. It's a branch of the Cannes Film Festival that spotlights up-and-coming directors, and also Chainsaw was put in permanent film archives of the Museum of Modern Art. It won awards all over the world, and opened a few doors. I think it took 7 or 8 years before mainstream filmmakers, producers, I should say, heads of studios, before they were for some reason able to recognize this as an artistic piece of work and a very good technical piece of directing, because of what it was and because of the effect it had on you.
And now, what direction is your career heading in?
Oh well, right now the way I feel it should have been 10 years ago. I have more than I can do.
I like to watch the credits of old movies, of, you know, movies from 10, 15 years ago, not that old, and see who's made it big since then. And watching the close credits of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I noticed who the narrator was. So I'm gonna see if our audience can guess who it is. I'm just going to play a few seconds of this.
The film which you are about to see is an account of the tragedy which befell a group of 5 youths, in particular, Sally Hardesty and her invalid brother, Franklin. It is all the more tragic in that they were young. But had they lived very, very long lives, they could not have expected, nor would they have wished to see as much of the mad and macabre as they were to see that day.
I don't know if our audience has guessed or not, but that's John Larroquette from Night Court fame. So how did you get him to do this movie? Did you know him? Were you friends with him? Or was he just cast?
Yeah, John was, at that time a struggling actor. I guess I'd call him a struggling actor. He was, certainly before he had, he could work every day in this business. And he was just a friend of mine. And he did an Orson Welles imitation for me one day, and I said, you know, that's what this thing needs. It needs that Orson Welles sound in the beginning, the prologue.
Okay, well, thank you very much for talking with us.
Oh, thank you.
Film director Toby Hooper looking back on his film The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Hooper directed the first episode of the new TV version of A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Springwood's nightmares are just beginning.
This is Fresh Air.